Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa khususan ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatamil anbiya wa ala alihi latqiyai wa ashabihi lasfiya amma ba'd. My dear brothers, honorable ulama, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to enlighten our soul and to enlighten our hearts with His love and love for His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to guide us all to the right path and so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. Our purpose in life is to serve Allah. Allah has commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَّاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Not only our prayers and our sacrifices, our life and our death should be for the sake of Allah. Whatever we have is from Allah. Allah has given us everything and then bought it back from us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has bought the wealth and the lives and the strength and the health and everything that believers have in lieu for paradise. So we are here to serve Allah, to serve Allah's cause. Different people serve their communities and set different goals and aims in their lives. In the eyes of Allah, generally, خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. The best of the people are those who benefit other people. Different people benefit others in different ways. You can give people housing, food to eat, clothes to wear, and set them up in a way that's benefiting them. That is a benefit in kind as well. But real and true, and the best benefit you can give people, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ, is to learn and then teach Quran. The language, or the knowledge rather, the goodness, the benefit which Allah Himself has sent directly. The food that we eat, clothes that we wear, houses that we live in, family, friends, they are all blessings of Allah. But a blessing of Allah which is truly great and noble, which Allah bestowed upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the blessing of Quran, the knowledge which Allah gave His beloved Prophet. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على معلم الناس الخير. Just as Allah and His angels send mercy upon the beloved Prophet of Allah, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. Allah and His angels send mercy upon the beloved Prophet of Allah. Similarly, and on a similar note, those people and those fortunate and blessed souls who take up the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then teach people goodness, real goodness, the best goodness which has come from Allah Himself, and the knowledge given by Allah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who impart that goodness, then similarly Allah and His angels, they send mercy on such blessed souls as well. Understanding of deen, many things Allah gives to everybody. Allah gives food and clothing and wealth many a times, even more to those who don't believe and believe in Allah. Many people aspire to be millionaires or billionaires, drive nice cars, live in nice houses, wear nice clothes, go on nice holidays. These are all things, if they had any value in the eyes of Allah. لو كانت الدنيا عند الله تعدل جناحا بعودا لا يسقى كافر شربة ماء. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, if these things had any value in the eyes of Allah, Allah would not have given any kafir even a sip of water. What Allah does value, من يرد الله به خيرا, when Allah intends goodness for anybody, يفقهه في الدين, Allah grants them understanding of deen. And this is what then leads a person to live a good life, a life on the right path, safe from temptations, distractions. Otherwise, shaitan is such an open enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. He is your declared, open, original enemy. يَا بَنِي آدَمْ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوَاتِهِمَا. Oh, you children of Adam, let Shaitan not distract you, mislead you, take you away from the right path. Let him not fool you and deceive you. Look at what he did to your father. In the days gone by, when people had respect for their parents, and this is one of the things which people are losing very, very quickly. As the Prophet said, أَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَاتَهُ أَقَّ أُمَّهُ وَأَدْنَى صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ. People will confide and be close to their friends and distance themselves from their fathers, be obedient to their wives and disobedient to their mothers. But in the days gone by when people had some respect for their parents, if anybody did any harm or insulted their father, then that was their mission in life, to seek revenge for the honor of their fathers. So Allah is telling people, oh you people, look at how Shaitan had your father expelled, taken out from Jannah. يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا. How he had him stripped, made naked, and then brought down to earth. So let Shaitan not deceive you and fool you. He is your enemy. The thing which Shaitan fears most, and people who are most difficult for Shaitan to deceive and mislead, فَقِيهٌ واحد أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. Many people will be worshippers, do ibadat of Allah, do good deeds. And many a times for Shaitan, even it's no problem to mislead them, to take them away from the right path. But one faqih, one who understands deen thoroughly, not just to learn words. Words are also important, don't get me wrong. نَدَّرَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَانْ سَمِعَ مِنَّا شَيْئًا فَبَلَّغَهُ كَمَا سَمِعَهُ. Someone who learns the words which were uttered from the noble tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every word is noble and precious. But not just to learn words, to learn their meanings and implications, and mashallah, and to understand them thoroughly, properly. What such fuqaha in the eyes of Allah are so blessed, and they are a real blessing of Allah, and they gain that understanding because of a favor of Allah. And such people are a real menace for Shaitan, the real thorn in his eyes and the real problem for his mission. فَقِيهٌ وَاحِدْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. We are living in times of fitan and fasad, evil and corruption, when knowledge and understanding of deen has become scarce. And such people who understand deen thoroughly, properly, we are fast approaching such times when Allah is taking knowledge away. Many grand scholars, Allah, are leaving this world one after the other very quickly, and their replacements are not there. Alhamdulillah, there are scholars. We are not saying there are no scholars, but their standard, mashallah, this blessed noble institution you are sitting in presently, named after a very saintly and a great man of Ummah who was in this world not very long ago. Hazrat Maulana Zakaria rahimahullah passed away in the early 1980s, only 30 years ago. But the likes of the Sheikh Maulana Zakaria rahimahullah, if we were to pick up a microscope, as Mahad rahimahullah used to say, you wouldn't find a man like him in this world now. This is only 30 years ago. If you're not going to find people like Maulana Zakaria rahimahullah, where are you going to get people like Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Maulana Mahmood Hassan, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahimahumullah? And you are sitting here in this institution in the southernmost tip of Africa, far away from that blessed land where the sun of Deoband rose almost 150 years ago. Under one tree, one student, Mullah Mahmood, Mahmood's student, and the teacher Mullah Mahmood, are not even in a masjid, in the forecourt of Chattawali Masjid, under a tree. In 1866, in the 15th of Muharram, under the command and supervision of Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahimahullah, when they started And within a few months, mashallah, the students before the end of Ramadan multiplied to more than 70. And now, mashallah, there are offshoots of Darul Uloom Deoband all over the world, from Fiji Islands, mashallah, to California, the southernmost tip of America, from Asia to the tip of Africa, throughout the world. Within a few years, mashallah, there were many other institutions, Mazahirul Uloom, the Nadwatul Ulama, and then in other places, in Bangladesh, Tara Hazari, and others. Then when Pakistan was formed, Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahimahullah, the father of Maulana Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatum in Karachi, established their Darul Uloom. Maulana Yusuf bin Nori, rahimahullah, whose, mashallah, students are everywhere in South Africa as well. Hazrat established his madrasa in Karachi, in Lahore, Jamia Ashrafia, in Peshawar, Akoda Khatak, and such madaris. And when people, mashallah, went there and studied and came into Africa, South Africa, here, mashallah, this institution, Azadville, and then others in Newcastle, in Durban, and other areas. And when Muslims went to Europe, mashallah, Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Damat Barakatuhum in Bari established his madrasa. Then Dar in Dewsbury, and then other offshoots, Nottingham and others, mashallah. And not just madaris for boys, madaris for banat. This year, just last few days of Ramadan, one of Pakistan's senior scholars, Qari Hanif Jalandhari, he is Nazim Ala of Wafaqul Madaris. Wafaqul Madaris is a body which is represents all madaris in Pakistan affiliated with Deoband Maslik. I asked him, and Hazrat told me, this year alone, only in Pakistan, 60,000 boys, 60,000 students became Hafiz, and they gave their official examination for the completion of Hifz. And they were granted asnad for memorization of Quran, 60,000 only in Deobandi affiliated madaris. 24,945 students, they completed their Dora Hadith in Dars-e-Nizami and gave examination for, mashallah, Dora Hadith only through Wafaqul Madaris, Deobandi affiliated madrasas. 15,000 girls and almost 10,000 boys. This is fadl of Allah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَى وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And if we combine, mashallah, the khidmat and service the khidmat and service being presented in India along with Bangladesh as well, then only in Deobandi madrasas you will find more service of deen to hadith and tafsir and fiqh than the rest of the world put together. But people think Deobandis don't know what is deen. They don't know what is hadith. They don't know dalil. Ulama, when Deoband was established, at Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahimahullah, Allah inspired him and he set up Darul Uloom Deoband. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmahullah, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, when they went over to India and they colonized India, it became part of the British Empire. It was known as the jewel in the British Empire. Muslims had been a very wealthy civilization for almost 1,000 years in India. The wealth that they had accumulated, the civilization which they had built up, they broke that to pieces, and they took away everything they could back to the UK. And it was India at whose expense then British were able to spread throughout the world and establish their empire. And when they took control of the whole country, people like Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmahullah, who was the Sheikh of Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, and then Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmahumullah, then under his guidance, under his supervision, they started a struggle for independence to see whatever they can do. They started from Thana Bhavan. That is where Haji Sahib Rahimahullah was based. Later on, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahimahullah was based there as well. Hazrat Haji Sahib had commanded him, that when he was doing other things, that if you ever feel like giving up or not doing anything else and you want to retire, don't go anywhere, come to my base in Thana Bhavan. Hazrat Thanvi Rahimahullah then in the later part of his life, well, he spent almost 40 years in Thana Bhavan. That is where Haji Sahib started his struggle. And they, after a couple of initial victories, they suffered a heavy defeat at a place called Shamli. Then they had to scatter, go underground. And Haji Sahib decided that it wasn't feasible for him to stay in India anymore. And then he decided to migrate to Makkah and settle there. And Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahimahumullah. Many of you might be aware, Maulana Zakriya Rahimahullah's Sheikh was Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahimahullah, and his Sheikh was Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahimahullah. And so Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, they had been friends from childhood. They had grown up together, studied together, and then they had come into the allegiance and spiritual supervision of Haji Sahib Rahimahullah. And they requested Haji Sahib to allow them to accompany him back to accompany him to Makkah so that they can also be with their Sheikh. Many people, mashallah, when they've spent time with their teachers and shuyukh, they want to be with them as much as possible. Haji Sahib Rahimahullah was the grand Sheikh of the time. Most of the people, Muslims of India at the time, in most of the ulama as well, they were affiliated with Haji Sahib. But Maulana Qasim Nanotwi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi were his main disciples. And they requested, Hazrat, allow us to accompany you to Makkah as well. Haji Sahib said, no, you stay here. Allah will take great work from you. And Allah will make you the means of the safety of the Iman of the Muslims of India. So they stayed. Initially, after the initial period, when the warrants were issued for their arrest and they were wanted, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahimahullah, he was arrested and imprisoned. And he was to be executed. Maulana Gangohi Rahimahullah sent a message to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki requesting for du'as that Allah save him and protect him. And Haji Sahib said, don't worry, Allah will protect you and save you. And after 6 months, he was then relieved. He was then released. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahimahullah decided to come to Hajj, and he came to Hajj and performed Hajj and then went back to India, and then in 1866 he laid the foundations of Darul Uloom Deoband. And now throughout the world, mashallah, when Muslims went to India, went to Europe, when the British had come to India in 1824, when the Archbishop of Canterbury, you might know Christians have two main denominations, Catholics and Protestants. Headquarter of Catholicism is in Rome, and their leader is known as the Pope. And the headquarters of Anglicans is in Canterbury, which is a small town in the UK in the south coast. And the cathedral there, Cathedral of Canterbury, that is the headquarters of Anglicans. The Archbishop of Canterbury, when he visited India in 1824, he openly declared and stated that we British control India, its economy, its government, its affairs, and it's only right that the people of India should adopt the religion of the British, which is Christianity as well. And he said, we want to develop a nation which looks like Indians but thinks and lives like Christians. But little did they know, they have a plan, Allah has a plan. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of the planners. And then when India gained independence in 1947, and then shortly after that Muslims started going to England to settle there. Earlier many had come to South Africa. The British had brought them here. And when people started going to England, then mashallah, people established masajid. Then Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Damat Barakatum established a madrasa there. And then graduates of the Bari Madrasa, they established many different madaris throughout England. And also when people went from India, Pakistan to America, one of us, the Sheikh Rahimahullah's disciples and khulafas, Dr. Ismail Sahib, he went to America. In mainland America, he established the first madrasa in Buffalo. And then, mashallah, when graduates of Dewsbury, Bury, when they went to Canada, America, now, mashallah, there's many madaris in mainland America and Canada, and mashallah, and in Zambia, the brother of Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib, he passed away last year, I think early part of this year. May Allah have mercy upon him as well and accept his services. So throughout Africa. And then you might be surprised, I don't know how many of you know, the oldest institution functional presently even in Makkah is an institution called Madrasa Solatiya. It was established by a friend of Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmahullah, Maulana Rahmatullah Kiranvi. Makkah at the time was part of the Ottoman Empire. And the Amir, he volunteered to assist and to take Madrasa Solatiya under the wings of the establishment and to look after all the running and the expenses of the madrasa. But Maulana Rahmatullah Kiranvi said that the Khilafat is doing great work and the Muslims of India regard it as an honor to be able to serve the community here and to do some service. And they said they would rather prefer if the Khilafat left it to the Muslims of India to carry on doing this service and to be able to run this madrasa at their expenses, as many nawabs and landlords from India were sponsoring the madrasa. And so the madrasa is still functional now. Many of you might have been to Makkah and where the Darul Tawheed is, intercontinental, as you come out of Haram on the right hand side, where they now present temporarily, they have put up a bus stand for the Septco buses. That is where Madrasa Solatiya was right from its inception until about 10 years ago. And now the Saudi regime, government has given them an alternative site on the outskirts of Makkah. But the Madrasa, alhamdulillah, is still functional. In Madinatul Munawwara, in 1921, the brother of Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahimahullah, Maulana Ahmad Hassan, he established a madrasa, Jami' Ulumi Shari'a. And for more than 60 years, that was functional many years ago in the mid-70s. Alhamdulillah, when I visited, the Shaykh Rahimahullah was alive. And he was based in Madinatul Munawwara. After Asr Salat, there would be majlis in Jami'a for a little while. And people could come and visit the Shaykh there. Alhamdulillah, I had the good fortune of visiting as a Maulana Zakariya Rahimahullah there. But then when the masjid was expanded, then they had to demolish all neighboring buildings and so on. And the madrasa was demolished. But so for many years, alhamdulillah, throughout the world, even in Makkah and Medina, Allah honored the ulama of the Deoband, and they were able to serve and enlighten the people and mashallah educate them and mashallah feed them spiritually with the knowledge of that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left this world with. And now more than half the ummah presently is benefiting from the fruits of that, the fruits of and the shoots of Darul Uloom Deoband. And alhamdulillah, throughout its history and inception, Darul Uloom Deoband has not just produced ulama, muhaddisun, fuqaha. They have produced ulama who have risen to whatever challenge has come their way. In terms of every possible fitna, fitna of Qadianiyat, fitna of Shiaism, other fitnas, Salafism and other fitnas. When Maulana Mahmood Hassan, who later became known as Shaykh al-Hind, who was the first student of Darul Uloom Deoband, Hazrat, when he was in his final years, he was given the responsibility of teaching students of the lower classes as well. And when he graduated, obviously then he took up responsibility of teaching in Deoband. And later on, he, mashallah, dedicated his whole life, and he, Allah blessed him, and for more than 40 years, he taught hadith and the major books, and people like Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmahullah, Mufti Kifayatullah Rahmahullah, who was the chief Mufti of India at the time, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmahullah as well, and Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani, and such likes were his students. Hazrat had just graduated, and he had started teaching in 1874. At the time, what we know now as referred to as Ghair Muqallid, or Ahli Hadith people, their main man, their leader, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Batalwi, he sent a challenge to Deoband, saying that I challenge the Deobandis and the Hanafis to prove their form of prayer For example, how they tie their hands and they don't do rafa yadain, they don't say ameen loudly, etc. And certain other issues. He sent 10 issues. He said, I challenge you to prove your points and your maslak from sahih, sarih, ghayr muta'arid ahadith, then you can't do it. Hazrat Rahmahullah was deeply insulted. How dare this man challenge us? And if he was to challenge us, then he should have had the audacity, the nerve to prove his point first and say, look, this is what we do. This is the evidence. Is sahih, is sarih, ghayr muta'arid. And so you, if you think you are on the right path, do the same. Hazrat was taken back and he spoke to Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmahullah. Hazrat, look what we have received. We've received a challenge and if you allow me, I would like to respond. Hazrat said, go ahead and respond to it. And then Hazrat took it upon himself. He had sent 10 questions. Hazrat sent 100 questions. You claim to be Ahl-e Hadith and you think that whatever you believe and practice is based on Hadith, then give the evidence for these. Not only 10, I'm giving you 100 and you will not be able to prove them. And the Ahl-e Hadith were not able to prove them to this day. And Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmahullah wasn't just a spiritual man. He was a teacher. He produced such students, the like of Maulana Mahmood Hassan, whose students in turns were people like Maulana Thanvi Rahmahullah and Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Mufti Kifayatullah and others. But Hazrat, he was a man who stood up for Haqq. And in 1876, the British organized a fete. It was an open meeting and they invited people from all over India, Christians, Hindus and others, to debate and prove their religion is true. The British knew that Hindus and others stand no chance. And the only people who've got any nerve and guts and base to come forward are the Muslims. They had brought their trained missionaries and preachers from England. And they brought them and presented them. Hindus couldn't debate with them. People were looking to who can debate with these Christians. Nobody could come forward. Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmahullah came forward. And he debated with the Christians in such a manner. Not only did he leave them speechless and hopeless. Then afterwards, after 3 days, when this whole incident was over, Hindu yogis, when Maulana was leaving, Hindu yogis was pointing to him and saying, this is the Maulviji. When he was talking, he wasn't talking from his tongue. He was talking from within and something else was talking through him. And they said, Maulviji, you might be a Muslim and we might be Hindus, but you're still an Indian and you've done us proud today. Everybody knew that the only people who can stand up for Haqq, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi is number one. And then his students and in Deoband, the Christians used to send missionaries every now and then and to then create doubts in the hearts and minds of Muslims. And Hazrat Thanvi Rahmahullah has written as well. In Ashraf al-Sawani it's written, Ashraf al-Sawani is the biography of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmahullah, that when Hazrat Thanvi Rahmahullah came to Deoband in 1878, that was the last year when Hazrat Nanotvi Rahmahullah, he was leaving to go to Hajj, and in his last year, then when he returned from Hajj, shortly afterwards, Hazrat had fallen so ill. He had so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he reached Madinatul Munawwara, many people, they say, Deobandis are gustakh. And they are disrespectful to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Hazrat Nanotvi rahimahullah had so much love for Rasulullah that when he reached the borders of Medina, he took off his shoes. He didn't want to walk within the boundary of Medina with shoes on. Other people did the same, but after a few yards, others put their shoes back on. But Hazrat Nanotvi rahimahullah, throughout his stay in Medina, didn't put his shoes on. He said, how can I walk in this noble and blessed land with shoes? And then after 8 days, Hazrat said to the people, let's leave. Other people who'd come with Hazrat on this Hajj from India, it wasn't easy in those days. It's not like now where you get on plane from here in 8 hours, you're in Jeddah. Many people go last flight in, first flight out. 10 days you can be back home. In those days, it used to take months and months, at least 6 months, or at least 3-4 months to come to Hajj and then go back. And it used to be really once in a lifetime journey. And people would save a lifetime in order to perform Hajj. So people said, we've saved a lifetime, first time we've ever come. We don't know if we'll ever be able to come. We've only been here 8 days. So ask Hazrat to please extend his days, his time, so that we can stay a bit more in Medina. So nobody dared go up to Hazrat and ask him, Hazrat, can you please extend your stay? So they approached his khadim and asked him, can you please put in a word and ask Hazrat to extend his stay? And when they approached his khadim, he said, I dare not say to Hazrat to extend his day. We've been here 8 days, and in 8 days, Hazrat has not eaten a single morsel of food or drunk a single drop of water. Why? Because if you eat, then you need to go to relieve yourself, and he didn't want to relieve himself in Madinatul Munawwara. This was the love that Hazrat had. And because of walking throughout the journey bare feet and walking, he refused to mount a ride. And then this made him excessively ill. And en route, he fell very ill as well. And then when he came back to Deoband, he recovered a little bit, but very soon he passed away. And that was in 1870. Hazrat Thanvi Rahimahullah had just come to Deoband. And he was young. And when he would hear anybody would come to Deoband, Hazrat Thanvi would jump on the occasion and go and challenge them for a debate. And many a times he debated with Christians. And others, mashallah, other ulama, they've never shied away from any challenge. And whenever people have come, try to challenge Islam or Muslims or Haqq in any way, Deoband produced such grand munazirs, debaters. And even now, in India, Pakistan especially, later on when Qadianis rose, and they started propagating their kufr, taking people away from Islam into the lap of this false imposter, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. You know, when we say prophets, we say alayhimus salam. We say sahaba radiyallahu anhu majma'in. When we mention name of pious people, we say rahimahumullah or rahmatullahi alayhi. But with such imposters, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, we say lanatullahi alayhim. When Mirza Qadiani, lanatullahi alayhi, when he came forward, then ulama Deoband stood up to the challenge. Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmahullah, in his later days, he was very ill, excessively ill. And there was a case in Bahawalpur in Pakistan, where a man had become a Qadiani, and his wife, she filed for separation in court. And she was a poor woman. And the man, because he became a Qadiani, Qadianis were supported by the British government as well. And they were wealthy people. She couldn't put her defense. And so she asked for assistance from ulama. And the ulama, they approached Deoband. And Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmahullah, many of you might know, he was the sheikh and the teacher of Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri, rahmahullah. He came from Deoband and he came to give evidence in court in Bahawalpur in spite of his old age and severe illness. And Hazrat said, if we don't do the work of Khatmin Nabuwat, then even dogs are better than us. Even dogs are better than us. And Hazrat gave evidence for many days. And after he finished giving his evidence and the case was finished, the judge didn't pass a decision straight away. He wanted time to consider the evidence and then give his decisions later. And Hazrat said, if the decision is given in my life, I will hear it. And if it's given after my life, please come and narrate the verdict on my grave. And people did. And when Hazrat said, Hazrat, you spent your life, teaching hadith and fiqh and tafsir and so on. And those who know Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, they know he was a walking library. Walking library. There wasn't a book from which Hazrat Rahmahullah could not quote and narrate. And give references not only to the book, but the volume and the page and the side and the line even. But Hazrat said, if we don't do such fundamental work, then even dogs are better than us. Alhamdulillah, you studying here, learning hadith, learning fiqh, learning all sorts of issues, alhamdulillah. But believe you me, when you come out, ask any imam in any masjid,
All the masalas in Hidayah, Qaduri, and other books are very important. Please do learn them. Don't get me wrong. But when you come out, very rarely, hardly ever, anybody will come and ask you any masala in there. I've been Imam 20 years. And I can, wallahi al-azim, I can count on one hand the number of times people have even come and asked me to teach them how to pray properly. But now people out there are so many fitans, so many evils, so many temptations, distractions, people being taken away from Islam in the name of Islam by evils like Shiaism, Qadianism, other deceptions like Salafism on the name of Quran and Hadith. But people, they just skip through, they just brush through, and then when leave, many people are just simply glad to be out. But wallahi al-azim, if you don't understand and learn properly, and you are not prepared to rise to the challenges of society, which a modern society which it demands, Allahu Akbar, then you would have done gross injustice to your stay here. You would have done gross injustice to the air you breathe there, the water that you've drunk, the food that you've eaten, to your teachers, our elders, and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the times of fitan and fasad, now people are living in times, in the morning they are Muslim, in the evening they are kafirs. There's come a time now, it's not all rosy-crosy. MashaAllah, you are in a fort here, surrounded, MashaAllah, with ulama, students, learning deen, reading Quran day and night, reading Qala Allah, Qala Rasul. But when you go out there, the world is very dark. The world is so dark, there's fitans on every step. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied 1400 years ago. There will come a time, الرَّجُلُ يَبِيُّ دِينَهُ بِأَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا يُصْبِحُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِهُ كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِهُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And in such times of fitan and fasad, إِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْفِتَنُ أَوِ الْبِدْعُ وَسُبَّ أَصْحَابِ. When these fitans rise and bidats appear and people are swearing at my sahaba. And don't take it very light. Don't think I'm just becoming emotional. People are swearing at Sahaba and openly cursing Sahaba. In YouTube, Shias have got three channels, Sky channels, one in Arabic, one in English, one in Urdu. And throughout the world, they are broadcasting their kufr and filth. Hatred of Sahaba, cursing of Sahaba. Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa. In particular and special. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا رَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِ. When you see people cursing my sahaba, and then don't say, may Allah guide them. Some of you might know, when you go home in holidays, somebody might be in drugs, somebody might be disobedient to his mother or father, somebody might not be working properly, and the parents say, go to the Maulana sahab, make dua, my son is into drugs, he doesn't listen to his mother, he doesn't go to work. He might say, may Allah guide him. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when people do other things, okay, but when you see them cursing my sahaba, then don't make dua for their hidayat. Then say, فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ. Then may Allah curse your evil. إِذَا ظَهَرَتَ الْفِتَنُ أَوَ الْبِدُوْ وَسُبَّ أَصْحَابِي فَلْيُظْهِرِ الْعَالِمُ عِلْمَهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. When such times are rising, people are cursing Sahaba, and they are cursing Sahaba now day and night. All Shia literature is filled with such kufr. And it's now being propagated 30, 40 years ago. If people didn't know, didn't matter, because it was only in their circles. But now it's in open. Many people don't ask ulama for masala. They ask Sheikh Google, Mufti Twitter, and they need tweets. And then when they look up there in the Shia websites, Qadiani websites and other websites, there is so much cursing, so much hatred being propagated against these blessed souls. Blessed souls. So this is a mission which isn't just fundamental in Quran and Hadith. This is a mission which is close to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet was asked, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who do you love the most? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha. Azamar ibn As radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, what I meant was, Minar Rijal. And the Prophet said, Abuha. The woman Rasulullah loves the most. The daughter of the man Rasulullah loves the most. And the man who was with Rasulullah from the cave is with him in the grave, shall remain with him till the day of Qiyamah, shall rise with him and be with him on the pond and beyond for eternity. She has had the nerve and the audacity to curse such noble souls. And the sympathies of people, ask these people. I've been with them now for 4 or 5 days. How many places we've gone? And supposed Muslims, they say, Maulana, don't call them kafirs. They pray, they read kalima, they have masjids, they read Quran, they go to Hajj, they give charities. Their name is Muhammad, Abdullah, Hussein, and others. How can you call them kafir? Well, did Abu Bakr read kalima? Didn't Umar read kalima? Didn't he read namaz? Didn't he do Hajj? Didn't he read Quran? If they can call him kafir, why can't we call them kafir? But their sympathies are not with Abu Bakr and Umar. Their sympathies are not with Aisha and Hafsa. Their sympathies are with these kafirs. And these are not just ordinary kafirs. In Pakistan, alhamdulillah, we've got our fair share of evil. But alhamdulillah, we've got our fair share of mujahids as well. One recent, mashallah, mujahid established Sipahi Sahaba. And anybody who joins Sipahi Sahaba and especially becomes the Amir, he knows his days are numbered. He knows his days are numbered. Every Amir, since its inception, has been martyred within 1 or 2 years. Mawlana Haq Nawaz Jangvi Rahmahullah, Mawlana Isar al-Qasmi Rahmahullah, Mawlana Ziaur Rahman Faruqi Rahmahullah, Mawlana Ali Sher Hedri Rahmahullah, Mawlana Tariq Azim Rahmahullah, they've all been martyred by Shias. Mawlana Ali Sher Hedri Rahmahullah, one of his clips is on the YouTube. He says, Inna Allah yudafi'u anil ladhina. Few more minutes. Hazrat says, Inna Allah yudafi'u anil ladhina amanu. Allah comes to the defense of the believers. Who were the believers when this ayat was revealed? Sahaba. They were the first and foremost believers. And when do you need defending? When somebody attacks you, then you need defending. So when people attack Sahaba, Inna Allah yudafi'u anil ladhina amanu. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla khawanin kafur. In English, just as you say, big, bigger, biggest, strong, stronger, strongest. And there are degrees. And you have alim, alim, allam, ghafir, ghafur, ghaffar. And similarly, kafir, kafur, and kafar. Those people who attack Sahaba, they aren't just kafirs, they are kafur, they are filthy kafirs. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. They say, قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَمْ آمِنُوا قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Allah says, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَا. They are fools. These hypocrites, these are their traits. They look down upon Sahaba. They curse Sahaba. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah will curse them in this world and the life hereafter. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah will curse them in this world. Allah will curse them in the life hereafter. So Aisha, when somebody insults your mother, somebody insults your wife, if somebody goes home and says, my mother is not my mother, may Allah never bring such a day in a person's life where you go home and say anything rude to your mother. But if anybody does, he'll be very sinful, but not a kafir. But if anybody says, Aisha is not my mother, Hafsa is not my mother, Umme Habiba is not my mother, Wallahi Lazim, he becomes a kafir straight away. Because Allah is saying she's your mother. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. So your mothers, they deserve your respect. They deserve your loyalty. They deserve your trust, and they deserve your service. So this is the time when people are openly, blatantly doing these evils, and the sympathy of the people out there, ask these people. They've been asking us, following us, why are you talking against them? And why should we not talk against them when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cursed us if we don't talk against them? So do you want the curse of Allah or do you want the rahmat of Allah? Obviously we want the rahmat of Allah. And in this time of fitan and fasad, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied and given the assurance, those people in this time and age, الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود كما بدأ غريبا فطوبى للغرباء هم الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس من بعدي.
When people corrupt what Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who rise to the challenge, Allah will give them such a reward Allah gave to the people before. We can't become like them. They were the best of the best. But just as when a train travels, some will be in air condition, some will be first class. But even if you're in third class, when they get off, you will get off at the same place. Sahaba was Sahaba. Allah chose them by being their servants, looking after their honor, standing up for their honor. Then you will be standing on a mission which was close to the very heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not difficult. All it takes is a bit of courage. All it takes is a bit of commitment. All it takes is a bit of devotion. All the literature is there. All the answers are there. All the work has been done. All you have to do is to read. All you have to do is to understand. And all you have to do is to stand. When you will stand, then Allah will give you the courage.
May Allah enable us, brothers. So when you go from here, don't just go wanting to go and alhamdulillah, I'm finished. No, you're not finished. That's the day your job will start. And other people might not appreciate it, but Rasulullah will appreciate it on the pond. Rasulullah will welcome you. Rasulullah will regard you as his own personal bodyguard and servant. Bodyguard of Abu Bakr. Bodyguard of Umar. Son of Aisha radiallahu anha. Finally, when Maulana Azam Tariq Saab, he was the last Amir before the present one, the day he was to be martyred, one of the senior ulamas in Pakistan, they saw Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha in his dream. And she was coming to Pakistan. And he said, "What brings you to Pakistan?" And she said, "I've come to pick up my son Azam." And the next day he was martyred. Martyred standing up for the honor and the dignity and the respect and reverence of Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the mother of the believers. May Allah make us among such pious people. May Allah enable us to rise to the challenges which lay ahead. Don't be scared. There's nothing to be scared of. Allah is with you. And when you are serving Allah and you are sincere, Allah will give you. You might not be intelligent. You might not have come number one in your classes. You might not have passed the exam with flying colors. But when you put yourself forward, then Allah will give you the ability. Allah will choose you. Allah will give you what it takes to rise to the challenge. But you have to present yourself. May Allah bless you all. May Allah pray to Allah. May Allah bless your teachers. May Allah bless this institution. May Allah enable all the students who come here. May Allah enable anybody who comes here and to walk away with the sweetness of Iman and the courage to serve the cause of Allah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Hazrat Abdul. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. رب اغفر وارحمه أنت خير الراحمين. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحييه إلى الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه إلى الإيمان. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.